After thousands and thousands of years, we're still learning new things about the best ways to maintain and enhance the health of babies and their mothers. A lot of the new things and plenty of the old ones get an airing under one roof this weekend in Ashland. Ashland Springs Hotel is the venue for the Free Fall Family Fair this Sunday, November 3rd. One of the major topics under discussion, sex after birth. And for that particular topic, we have three guests with some experience in dealing with the issue. Joy Hosey is a relationship guide and coach based in Ashland. Joy, welcome to The Exchange.
Hey, great to be here.
Glennie Finesmith is here as well. She's a licensed clinical social worker in Ashland. Glennie, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Kimberly Ford joins us on the phone. She'll be at the session this weekend. She is the writer and the author of the book Hump, True Tales of Sex After Kids. Kimberly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
And let's start with you, Kimberly. I mean, this book didn't come out of the blue. This is a situation that apparently has been bedeviling people for, well, I would think eons.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's interesting. I think that a lot of different things shift after birth, and one thing that certainly shifts is a woman's desire to have sex. And so I think that it's an important time to feel aligned with your spouse because parenting is such an enormous, enormous adventure. And I think that trying to keep your sex life alive in those very early baby stages is daunting, but something worth putting some effort into. And one thing that in my book, I talk pretty candidly about the experiences of a group of women down here near San Francisco. And one thing that came up is the fact that, you know, there's a little bit of an imbalance in that men are generally not as traumatized, at least physically, by the birth of a child, and women are. So part of the challenge is to get women to a place where they're really ready and really desirous in terms of sex, whereas men, you know, often don't have that same issue. So because the woman's body is the site of all of the trauma after birth, it's really important for each woman to figure out how she can feel good about having sex again.
Is it entirely physical? Is it you know, soreness and out of shapeness and all that stuff, or is there a psychological element as well, Kimberly?
There's absolutely a psychological element. I think most you know, obstetricians will sort of give you this green light at 6 weeks, which is, I think, for a woman, it's often kind of a fraught time, especially if it's your second or third child, because even after 6 weeks, you know, your body may be healed. But the fact is, you're exhausted by the existence of one baby, if not, you know, one baby and a couple of toddlers and, you know, preschoolers. But you're also, you know, you may still be lactating. There's a lot of connection with the baby that's really both very demanding and also very satisfying. And so the libido sort of gets sidelined, certainly, during this period. And a lot of it has to do with attitude, and a lot of it has to do with not maybe feeling as close with your spouse or your partner as you were before the baby's arrival. So a lot of it has to do with attitude, certainly, you know, in the post 6 week period, in that women really need to feel valued and they need to feel relaxed enough to be able to want to have sex, and they need to be able to feel at least, you know, somewhat emotionally intimate with their partner in order to enjoy sex again.
Glennie Finesmith, a licensed clinical social worker in this group, I see that you specialize in birth psychology for adults and children and pregnant couples. What is birth psychology?
It's really what happens in utero, how the in utero experience affects you emotionally. And what we do know from studies now from the 1970s is that babies remember what happens in utero. It's an intrinsic memory held at the cellular level that can be achieved through regression work. And so what happens in utero and what happens to the baby affects our lives from then on and affects the very first relationship, which might be the mother-child relationship, but then it carries through to the relationship in adulthood.
We're talking primarily about sex after birth, but since you're talking about the experiences that are experienced by the child in the womb, I have heard from couples about to have children, they didn't want to have sex, they didn't want to do it so close to their child, et cetera. Is that something of an issue, too, that the issue of having sex before birth?
Not really, because what the baby feels is the love.
Mm-hmm.
So the love hormones, the oxytocin, that's generated, the feeling between the mother and the father, that's what the baby is bathed in, and that's beautiful.
Joy Hosey, you're a relationship guide and coach, and so is a lot of your work with people who are trying to figure out how to get back into a sexual groove after having a child?
Exactly. I work with a lot of young parents, in my practice, because exactly this is what comes up. You know, after it's usually about weaning time for the first child. If they have more than one child, then they tend to come in even earlier because they realize, you know, it's time to take off the sweaty robes of parenthood for a little while and do what I call, there's a lot of tag teaming going on where literally the parent's attention is all put out on this, you know, this new being, this new life form that they're both in love with. But they've forgotten how to have face-to-face contact. And so I create a space where they can come in and remember how to do that. And to Kimberly talked about relaxation. And relaxation is key in terms of a woman being able to experience pleasure in her body and pleasure with her mate. And the oxytocin that Glennie was referring to as well.
It's the bonding hormone.
It's the bonding hormone, exactly. And so it's going with the baby. Baby and mother are eye-gazing, looking, holding, skin to skin all the time. And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, she's with her hubby. And, you know, all she wants is to stop being, you know, the person with which there's so much demand for her time and attention, and she forgets, you know, about her and her needs and how to reconnect and have that oxytocin and other lovely chemicals that come along with it by taking time to relax and drop in with her mate again. So I create a space where, you know, I believe that telling the truth and being vulnerable is the greatest aphrodisiac of all. So really that's what I lead couples into, practices that help them learn how to tell deeper truths, help them remember the deeper truth of their relationship and their love, be vulnerable again, and then something magical opens up again that they remember between the two of them.
That's an interesting concept to think about, the couples facing each other, because even if it's only been 90 degrees and they're still standing side by side, they've turned their attention to the child.
Exactly. I call tag-teaming it to face-to-face.
We are talking about the issue of sex after childbirth with Joy Hosey, Glennie Finesmith, and Kimberly Ford. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kimberly Ford, is because of the fact that you have oxytocin, which is present, I know, early in infancy between mother and child, I mean, is that something that couples can actually make use of from medical experience?
Well, the oxytocin.
Well, yeah, I don't mean like taking the hormone or anything, but, you know, taking advantage of the fact that there is this bonding hormone in the air, I guess.
Yes. You know, my sense about that, and this is one of the things I mention in the book, is that there is a period of time where it's totally appropriate that the couple really be 100% focused on the baby. And certainly in that period of time, Joy mentioned the weaning period or the period, you know, after the first 6 weeks, when lots of obstetricians will say, you know, you've got the green light and you can go ahead and resume sexual activity. I think in that very first period, whether that be until you wean or until that six-week period, you know, really it's appropriate that the contact between the spouses be more about, you know, massage or about just giving each other a little space. You know, maybe the mom wants a soak in the tub or she wants a walk around the block. But then after that, there is a period where I think some of the affection for the baby and sort of the general love in the house might be refocused on each other. But I think you also would find that many couples who have young children do not, in fact, find an abundance of love in the household. In fact, I think there's an abundance of resentment and irritation and annoyance. People are simply not sleeping as well. People are stressed out about all of the concerns that you have about a tiny infant. And in today's world, there's an enormous amount of pressure on women not only to bond with the baby and to be absolutely available to your child, and the attachment parenting demands are enormous. So if you're a mother who's trying to really focus on her baby and give the baby all you need, it sometimes feels like there's not a lot left over for yourself after having given all of your attention to your baby. And there's certainly not a lot of left energy for your husband or your partner. So I think it's important to give yourself a break. And in the book, there are actually some very practical ideas about how to do that. One of them is that you really, and this is not all that practical, but I think it's a helpful mindset, is just letting some things go. And part of that may be letting go this myth of the perfect mother who's devoting all of her time to the baby. I'm a big fan of plopping a kid in front of a video if that child is a preschooler. And, you know, as much as screen time is taboo, I think there's no better use of a half-hour video than, you know, some time for parents to reconnect. So giving up a little bit of the notion of being a perfect parent also absolutely giving up the notion of trying to run a perfect household, you know, forego the dishwasher and instead take some time to either reconnect or actually, you know, rush to the bedroom and get done what you can get done. And I also encourage moms in the book to bargain a little in the sense that if they're not quite feeling the mood and the husband is, that you can say to your mate, you know, what I really need in order to feel ready to be more intimate is a soak in the tub or a walk around the block or a night out with my girlfriends. That I think communication about needs is very important. And you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, but some bargaining is never a terrible idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend kind of hit it on the head about 15 years ago when she described rushing down to the supermarket to grab some stuff when her baby was really, really young and thought, boy, I can't wait till things return to normal. And then she realized, oh, wait, this is normal.
It is normal. It is normal. And it's trying, and it's a very difficult time. So part of it is really just cutting yourself a lot of slack, especially for the mother.
So Glennie Finesmith, when couples come to you, what are some of the things you recommend for instituting this sense of normality into this changed landscape?
Well, I think one of the things we have to realize is that this is a huge issue in our country today, that between 40% and 50% of couples are divorcing before baby's 5 years old. And statistically, 70% of women are claiming by the time the baby is a year old that they're extremely unhappy and disappointed. And part of it is that there is a lack of equality in who is carrying the burden of this little one. And with the level of communication that is enhanced in groups, the kind of groups that Joy runs, we find that these couples now are able to vent their issues. They're able to get mutual support. They're able to then go forward with that level of support and find the intimacy again, to claim their space, to claim what feels equal in the relationship.
Sex After Birth, our topic on the Jefferson Exchange. Kimberly Ford is the author of Hump, True Tales of Sex After Kids. Glennie Finesmith, you just heard, is a licensed clinical social worker in Ashland. Joy Hosey is relationship guide and coach in Ashland. You can join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning, everybody. I have actually three comments. I'm going to make the first two very brief because the third one is a little more comprehensive. The first one is, of course, that if sexuality is considered as more than and out urge, it never has to stop. It encompasses a lot more than just bedroom. It's there. That's a long story.
But okay.
Let's keep that simple. The second thing is that the whole subject did not need to exist if people were not stuck in the nuclear family where there is sort of a mandatory crisis if a child grows up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the third one is, give me a little time to get that across. They did a study some years ago in Switzerland because they found that mouse ladies picked their partners based on a gene, the MTH gene, which among other things, sort of qualifies the immune system, the way the immune system is put together. And what happened is that
Wolfgang, I'm sorry, your signal keeps breaking up here. Can you kind of summarize what you have to say quickly?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Let me be very, very short. As mice do, women choose their partner, and that has been proven, based on scent.
All right.
And that scent, among other things, takes care of preventing immune system inbreeding. And I can send you the link to all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that. I appreciate it, Wolfgang. I need to get answers from our guests here because we are running short on time. Joy and Glennie, I see you both nodding.
Yeah. I don't want to go too far down this path, but Wolfgang, I think you're exactly right. There are actually different hormonal experiences that are happening organically in a feminine body whenever she's being attracted. It's a different DNA pool. actually it's happening on a biological level. But once you actually get pregnant, when you're in that state, you actually are looking for a different kind of DNA. Research now substantiates that you're looking for something that's more closely associated to your own DNA, more like your family, like your tribal. But when you're looking for an actual somebody to create a new life form with, you're looking for something that's different. And there's this whole thing, too, about, you know, the scent, definitely how women are more attracted to men who are actually aroused. You know, they have studies with that, too. So that's a whole other, you know, biological factor of what creates attraction or not. But what we're talking about here are people who have chosen to be family together, for better and for worse, a lot of times. And they have these beautiful vessels called children that are reminders to them of their commitment to each other and love. Right. Something he did say that I wanted to just point to is this place we're talking about sexual attraction and urges. And I think we can all agree, too, and science backs up that staying sexually active is actually very good for the immune system, as he was saying, and healthy. But the thing I want to make a distinction is that I have couples come in and they'll start talking euphemistically about sex by using the word intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so I got curious about that. And then usually the man goes, well, I really would like to be more intimate. I'm like, what do you mean by that?
And you really find the definitions differ from
exactly
partner to partner.
And so intimacy is a much wider umbrella of which sexuality is a part. And so again, what I help couples do is navigate the kind of lovely and sometimes treacherous waters of what it means to maintain intimacy so that we can be sexual. And I have this whole thing on what I call the five fingers of touch, and I'll go through them really quickly, the first being nurturing, and then you have passionate, playful, sensual, and sexual. And I put the thumb.
So sexual just one of the
five. Is one. You know, it's like that old joke. You know, when sex is happening in a relationship, it's like, 15% of our attention goes there. But when it's not happening, it gets 85% of our attention. Right?
Right.
So what I say, both couples, when they come in after child rearing and weaning and all this, you know, they've been really in the parenthood mode for a while. Both of them, both men and women, need a big chunk of nurturing touch again. That oxytocin, relaxation, connecting. You care about me. I care about you. God, I love you. And then from there, you can start adding in and dabbling and playing with the palette of passionate embraces and playful, you know, grabbing each other and doing things sensual, soothing of the system, and then sexual. And you really need a full palette for the full sexual pleasure, relaxation experience to occur, especially for women, I think.
Sex after childbirth, our topic on the Jefferson Exchange. Joy Hosey, Glennie Finesmith, and Kimberly Ford, our guests. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Paul, go ahead. Paul. Paul going once. Paul going twice. Sold. No Paul on the Jefferson Exchange. So Kimberly Ford, this seems to be it involves some retraining, not just of the man, who I think is where the assumption might lie, but for both partners in a relationship, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that part of the retraining piece is for women to, there are two things that I talk with people about in the book, is one that you want to sort of take a quick look at where you were in terms of frequency and pleasure with any sort of sexual activity before baby and then after baby. And if there's a real disparity, if the frequency or your pleasure in sex is very different, then it's time to reprioritize some things. And again, that's where, you know, not dusting and not vacuuming and not emptying the dishwasher might be helpful. The other analogy that the community here has really enjoyed is thinking about sex as going for a jog, in the sense that it never sounds like a very good idea. And then once you get going, you think, well, that's not that bad. And, you know, I'm outside and I'm sort of enjoying this a little bit. And then once you're sort of halfway into it, you're thinking, actually, this feels pretty good. And certainly when you're finished, it seems like a great idea. You're always glad you did. And the fact is, having intercourse is not only really good for intimacy, but it's very important for physical health. And I think for women to be able to find a way, and men, but for both of the new parents to be able to find a way to make sex a priority, but also to be sure that both parties are really enjoying it, that sometimes those sports metaphors are not too far off.
So, Glennie Finesmith, when couples come to you, are they pretty convinced that things will never be quite the way they were? And for that matter, will they ever be quite the way they were?
Actually, I work with the individuals. Mm-hmm. So it's at a point when there's a realization that the issue is larger than just this. And so we look at what's underlying it and what's causing it. What's causing the inability for intimacy to be reignited? What's causing the disengagement of either the father or the mother from this relationship? Where is that dissatisfaction? And what's underlying it? So we go, when someone comes to me or a couple comes to me, we're looking a little bit deeper because they've already gone through looking at what can they do as a couple in terms of activities to juice up their relationship, and it's not quite happening.
So Joy Hosey, is this often things like just re-romanticizing a relationship, calling each other a couple of times a day if you're not together, things like that?
You know, it varies from couple to couple, the practices. But I can tell you that, again, going back to this thing of couples being able to, as been talked about today, clear out the back resentments, that's important because underneath all of that is where you're going to find and rekindle your love. So I really believe and come to appreciate that telling the deeper truths, and it's not just truth being different than telling your judgments about each other, the deeper truths that reside in your heart, you know, in terms of how you feel about your partner or how hurt you're feeling or whatever it is really an aphrodisiac. So practices that enable that.
Joy Hosey is a relationship guide and coach in Ashland. Glennie Finesmith is a licensed clinical social worker in Ashland. Kimberly Ford is in the Bay Area and is the author of the book Hump, True Tales of Sex After Kids. They'll all be at the third annual Free Fall Family Fair put on by Southern Oregon Birth Connections this Sunday, November 3rd, 10 to 4 at the Ashland Springs Hotel. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Great to have you.
Great.
That'll do it for this hour of the exchange. Yes, quickly, Kimberly.
I'm sorry?
Did you say something?
No, I just said thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Good to have you all here. Coming up in hour number two, Hardwiring Happiness. We'll talk to Dr. Rick Hansen. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.